everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Kelly O Show. Today on the show, we welcome back my doctor, Dr. Lane Sebring. If you haven't yet done so, I certainly encourage you either before, it's not necessary to listen to these before you listen to this show. Each one of the shows I've done with Dr. Sebring in the past can be listened to by itself. But certainly we've covered some great topics. There's a two-part episode on hormones. There's an episode on the keto diet. There's an episode on cortisol. That's a two-part episode. And I believe there's one other episode. Of course, the topic is escaping me. But he is an exceptionally intelligent man who knows so much about integrative and what I would call holistic medicine, certainly everything about hormones and how the body works, and just somebody that I know that you'll love learning from. So I encourage you either before or after you listen to this show where we're talking about cholesterol and the cholesterol myth to go back and listen to those episodes as well. I'll make sure that we have that linked up in the show notes at thekellyoshow.com. Today, as I mentioned just a moment ago, I came to Dr. Sebring and I asked him if we could do a show on cholesterol because I'm so tired of first of all, you know, I've run into a couple people that I know personally who tell me that, you know, they're trying to get healthy and their doctors put them on cholesterol medication. And of course, the cholesterol medication is some big pharma company cholesterol drug with a host of side effects that is making them feel even worse and creating more symptoms and illness issues that they have to deal with. It's not solving the problem. And people just fundamentally don't understand cholesterol. I think about my parents and their generation and how, you know, there still are these myths permeating the fitness space or the, you know, how to get healthy space, thinking red meat is bad, egg yolks are bad, I have to avoid fat, all fat is bad, you know, that's going to be high cholesterol. And we just tend to not understand cholesterol, what's good, what's bad, is there a good and a bad? And that's what we cover in this show. So I know you're going to enjoy this interview because as usual, Dr. Sebring creates just a very accessible way to understand what cholesterol is and what we need to be looking for as far as our own diets and our own level of activity to manage cholesterol and what's important, what we need to disregard, and so on and so forth. So sit back and enjoy this two-part episode with Dr. Lane Sebring on cholesterol. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Kelly O Show. I have one of my favorite people on the planet back on the show, my doctor, Dr. Lane Sebring. And I know I said this in the introduction to today's show, but I really, really encourage you, if you are new to listening to this podcast, that you go back within our first 100 episodes. I will make sure that I look up, and in the first 100 episodes, we weren't labeling them episode one, episode two. That was kind of a mistake on my part, but we'll make sure that we start referencing those and get those edits in there so that I can let you guys know, like in the show notes for this episode,
which ones of those first 100 episodes have Dr. Sebring, because we've got at least 10 interviews with him on things like hormones. We did a whole episode on cortisol and its effect on fat loss. We just have some amazing information. So make sure you go back and listen to those interviews as well. I can't tell you how many people that I direct to those episodes who will write back and say, you know, that information has changed their lives. So make sure you do that too. But for today, Dr. Sebring, welcome to the show. Are you ready to talk about cholesterol?
I am so ready.
I figured you would be because, and for everyone listening, you know, this is a topic I chose because I think the topic of cholesterol is, it represents a lot of things with our healthcare system, our medical system, and misunderstandings that are still permeating the fitness, health, and wellness space about what's good for us. And in fact, we're also recording another show today that's going to be released very soon. And the topic of that is skim milk. And these things are just like a simple topic or a simple title, but they represent a really big misunderstanding. There are still just hundreds of thousands of people who are out there following low-fat diets, avoiding eating any fat, thinking that cholesterol, all cholesterol is bad, not understanding the cholesterol thing. And when really the impetus for this was a good friend of mine was sharing all of the lists of medication she was on, and she was like, well, I'm on this medication for insulin resistance. I'm on this medication for cholesterol. I'm on this medication for anxiety. I'm on this medication for this. And I'm like, all of these things, did your doctor tell you? And I'm not the expert. Dr. Sebring's the one that's educated me, and he'll educate all of you here. But I'm like, all of those things you're getting a pharmaceutical drug for can be solved naturally, you know? And so this is the type of stuff we want to talk about on the show. But Dr. Sebring, I'm going to have you start talking about, you know, maybe you could, for everybody listening, everybody, including my father, and probably, you know, this girlfriend that I was mentioning a minute ago, everybody just hears cholesterol and they think, oh, my cholesterol's bad. I've got to watch it. I've got to go on. Isn't it a statin that they put people on for cholesterol?
Yes. Or is that wrong? It's one of, there's many different strategies to lower cholesterol, but that's by far the most popular.
So what is it, what is cholesterol, and why are people, you know, what's the misunderstanding people have about cholesterol? Because there's good and bad, right?
No.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know.
It's all good. And I think that'll become more clear, hopefully, as we talk about this. If your body doesn't make cholesterol, you're not going to be alive. So it's very important. Cholesterol is a very powerful antioxidant. It's the most powerful antioxidant for your brain. People with the highest cholesterol, and when they do cholesterol studies, and I must say there's a lot of difference and a tremendous, a tremendous difference in whether a study on cholesterol is done about cholesterol or about statin drugs. Mm. When it's done with statin drugs, you find out that cholesterol is only bad. When you do a study on cholesterol and people and how they function and what the cholesterol levels mean, what you find then is a very different story. 6 good studies around the world have shown that the people with the highest cholesterol live the longest, have the fewest heart attacks, and have 70% less dementia. So this is really interesting, isn't it? So they have the fewest heart attacks and live the longest. There was one study where it's just a beautiful, simple, elegant study where they went to all these different nursing homes, and all they did was check the cholesterol level of the oldest resident in each nursing home. And you're typically looking at someone hovering around 100 degrees. Maybe 100 degrees too, but I'm sorry, about 100 years old. And so what they found was that their average cholesterol for these 100-year-old people was 264. Now, I suggest that they were not on a statin drug when they tested that, because the goal would be to get it down below 200 or maybe less if they have some risk factors like diabetes, etc. But if they have diabetes, they're probably not going to make it to 100 or be the oldest resident. So the point is, cholesterol is required for life. Your hormones are made from cholesterol. If you don't have a good cholesterol level, you're going to be low on testosterone. You're going to be low on estrogen. You're going to be low on cortisol. Cortisol is required to get sugar into the brain. So if your cortisol, if a person's cortisol ever goes to zero, they're going to be dead in about 8 to 10 hours because that's all the sugar the brain has stored. So when you lower your cholesterol, you lower your cortisol below that which your body thinks it should be. And you lower your testosterone below that what your body thinks it should be. And the same with estrogen. And the same with aldosterone. It's another important hormone that regulates salt, that sort of thing, and blood pressure.
So what was that last one? Sorry.
Aldosterone.
Aldosterone. Okay, I'm taking notes.
Okay. So, you really start playing games with your body and depriving you of all kinds of things, not just the cholesterol. 80% of the cholesterol in our body is made in the liver. That blood test you just took and your doctor is telling you it's too high, 80% of that level your body made. Your liver makes it. A lot of it is being made to be turned into bile salts. You remember bile salts? They emulsify fatty foods, and it helps you absorb the vitamins that are fat soluble.
Wait, say that last part slower. So you're saying cholesterol makes these bile salts, and these bile salts are what help us essentially get all the nutrients out of our food. Is that accurate?
Particularly those specific to fats.
Okay.
And so, there's a lot of essential fats out there that we need that we don't get much of anymore. And that's why we supplement things like omega-3s and things like that. But you take your omega-3s, trying to improve your brain and your skin and your function and your immune system and reduce inflammation, all those things, but you're not going to absorb it if you don't have bile salts. And so cholesterol is made into bile salts. We make cholesterol so that we can absorb vitamin E and vitamin A and vitamin K, things like that. And if we don't have the good level of the bile salts, then we're not going to absorb them. And that will be reduced if you're taking a statin drug.
Wow.
So the side effects of statin drugs are incredible. The fact that I mentioned it's the number one antioxidant for brain cell membranes, and then all your peripheral nerves too. They're made the same as the brain, the nerves. And so you end up with what we call peripheral neuropathies. It's diseases of these nerves, and people have chronic pain in their feet sometimes from taking a statin drug. Some people are more sensitive than others, but it harms everyone.
What was that peripheral what?
Neuropathy. Neuro meaning nerve and path meaning disease.
Okay. So taking a lot of statin drugs, which pretty much your typical doctor, when somebody comes in with high cholesterol, that's what they're going to do. My friend's on one. Yeah. And so it's not only going to, decrease, it's going to affect your cortisol, your estrogen, your testosterone, your aldosterone. It could end up, in other words, not everybody, it's not like you're on a statin drug, you will have peripheral neuropathy, but you could likely have it because they put people on statin drugs and they just tend to go kind of like they told me with spironolactone. Well, you'll just be on this for the rest of your life. Isn't that usually the case?
Oh, absolutely. But here's the problem. We kind of need to address this maybe a little bit later, but the medical literature is not believable anymore and hasn't been for over 30 years. And I say that because the editor-in-chiefs of the top 5 English-language medical journals on the planet, including JAMA, the New England Journal of Medicine, The Lancet, et cetera, they all have said that the medical literature is largely false or falsified. Mm. So that's what the doctors read. And that's why there's a disparity between studies done on cholesterol to see how that affects people versus how much a statin drug lowers cholesterol. Because then it's just kind of assumed that the lower it goes, the better off you're going to be. But now we're finding out that the people with the highest cholesterol live the longest, et cetera,
For everybody listening too, I remember, and I'm absolutely fine. You know, Dr. Sebring is my doctor. He's dramatically improved my health. So I'm absolutely 1,000%. Is it, can I reference things? Is that going to get you in trouble if I reference things about my health?
No, that's your choice.
Okay. So I'm clearly, you haven't asked me to do this, but one of the things when I got my blood work done is it came back and I had high cholesterol. And when I meet with Dr. Sebring, he's a completely different kind of doctor. You know, he spends an hour with me. And he will go through my blood work and explain each thing. Here's where your estrogen is, and this is why it's either good or bad. And one of the things that came up was I had elevated cholesterol, and I'm like, oh, you know, this runs in my family. And he's like, no, that's good. And this was when I first started, you know, kind of paying attention to this, because I just remember, I think it was like when my dad was in his 50s, well, I know he was first told by his doctor in the early 80s that he had high cholesterol. And that's when my mom started, quote unquote, cooking healthy. And this was before healthy cooking was like cool, like it is today. So it was just like whole wheat flour, skim milk, margarine, like, and my dad started, I remember for breakfast, he would make his eggs and his doctor had said no fats. So everything was like low fat, and he would make eggs and only eat the whites, and he wouldn't have steak because he was told steak was bad for him. And that's when I started hearing a lot about cholesterol and the things that they told my dad to do. And then later he ended up having triple bypass surgery. And, you know, they said that the thing they tell my dad is, you know, cut your fat, go on a plant-based diet, and meaning more like more vegetables, close to vegetarian. And it makes me just wonder, like, wait a second. So he did everything the doctors told him to, going on a like a low-fat diet, eating, you know, margarine and cutting out all of the quote-unquote bad fats, eggs, which some people still think they shouldn't eat eggs. Don't eat meat. It's bad for you. Beef is bad for you. Beef causes heart disease. And 10 years later, or 20 years later, he's having triple bypass surgery. And, you know, I think he's probably been on a statin too. When did this whole tie, because is my understanding correct, Dr. Sebring, that people think cholesterol and they immediately think high fat diet causes it. I should go on a low fat diet, go on a statin drug, and that's going to fix me. So number one, is that typically what a lot of doctors are out there saying, is that high fat diet or, you know, cut out these fats and that's going to fix it. And then that's what they're going to prescribe. And that's actually not what's going to help the cholesterol. And then back to what you said at the beginning of the show, you shouldn't be trying to lower your cholesterol.
Right. Yeah. Your body doesn't, if you have elevated cholesterol, the body is not elevating it for no reason. And so it may be because you may be toxic with heavy metals, pesticides, fertilizers. The body's trying to protect you with this cholesterol. And so,
go ahead.
Well, so you said a lot. So let's, but it's important. Let's see if we can tease some of that out. And so cholesterol comes in a natural human diet. You know, I'm the first doctor in America to base their practice off the paleo diet. And I announce that periodically because I think it explains where I come from. But it's also, I will unabashedly tell you, the smartest way to go. Because what we're doing when we recognize the importance of the paleo diet, we're recognizing that our genes count. We are designed around the paleo diet. Our bodies do incredibly well. They do so much better on it than any other diet. Why? Because that's what our genes are expecting. And people have some misconceptions. They think that hunter-gatherers that eat the paleo diet don't live as long. But that's a whole other topic. But in fact, they do. Life expectancy has not increased at all. What it has increased is that more people are getting to that life expectancy than before. But the maximum life expectancy has not ever changed. So what we want to do here is look at the what we find. Okay, so listen. Here's a missing piece of information that I think will help a lot of those that have some knowledge of cholesterol and that sort of thing. When you said go on, your father was told to go on a low fat diet. Mm-hmm. What did that what did that force him to do? If he's cutting out fat, then he's also cutting out protein, because those two almost inevitably come together. So there's really only fats and proteins and carbs. So he's left with carbs. So what does that lead to? Diabetes. High triglycerides are made from carbs, all right? The body will take that sugar from that carbohydrate diet and turn it into fat, which is stored in the form of triglycerides in our cells. So if you have 100 people with known heart disease, and you look at what other common problems they have, the one that is most common to all 100 is something called insulin resistance, meaning it takes a lot more insulin for those folks to get their sugars under control after a meal. And so their sugars go up too high and they stay up too high for too long. If that happens and gets a little bit worse, you have diabetes. And so that's a huge risk factor then, we just described, insulin resistance. And so, interestingly, if you have high sugars, then your body is doing everything it can with insulin to lower that. So your insulin is going to be high. And, you know, we were talking a while ago about, and here's that key bit of information that I think a lot of people will appreciate. Cholesterol is made into bile. It's a big portion of the vast majority of the cholesterol we make is designed to be turned into bile. But guess what? There's an enzyme that converts cholesterol into bile. That's what changes it, an enzyme. And that particular enzyme is shut off when we have high insulin levels. So what does that mean? It means that when we eat a lot of carbs and our sugar goes high, it ends up stopping cholesterol from being made into bile. So what gets dumped into the intestinal tract instead of bile? Cholesterol. What happens to it once it enters the intestines? It gets absorbed just like the food, just like the cholesterol in our food. So the cholesterol that we make in today's diet doesn't get turned into bile salts. It gets left as cholesterol because of the high insulin that we all run around with.
I was taking so much notes. I have to make so many notes, excuse me, that I have to make sure I'm understanding. So what you're saying is that most people that have high cholesterol are typically, there's a strong correlation between those that also have insulin resistance. And when our insulin resistance is pretty extreme, and I used to have insulin resistance, it's going to stop that enzyme from breaking the cholesterol down into bile. And then what happens is that cholesterol, because it doesn't turn into bile, goes into our bloodstream. And that was the part where I was still taking notes. So when the cholesterol is not turned into bile and it goes into our bloodstream, what's happening there?
Well, so you get a lab comes back that says you got high cholesterol.
Okay. Like mine, right?
Right. And so the diet you should be put on is what? Not high carbs. That'll just make it worse. So if you cut out fat, fat is not made into cholesterol. That's the number one thing doctors.
Yes, I'm glad you said that. Say that again.
Fat is not turned into cholesterol. Doctors know nothing about nutrition. I am a doctor. I'm an MD. I went through that same school. I use that stuff every day. But I'm telling you, it stops when it comes to nutrition. I go to nutrition courses and conferences, and I've been learning that for 25 years now. So
you did extra outside of your medical degree, which makes sense. You know, that isn't what, it's funny how many doctors, and this is not for everybody listening, you know, I'm not here to bash doctors. When I first started getting my blood work done, I was very angry at the medical establishment, but you also have to look at the fact that these guys and gals go through medical school and they don't know what they don't know. So they're practicing based on the way education has been set up. It hasn't been set up to understand things like hormones and nutrition. But what I find funny is how many doctors will dole out quote unquote nutrition advice. And right. We've heard it before. You know, you heard about my man went in and he had some blood work come back and they're like, oh my God, you know, they pretty much told him like he was dying or something. from something so simple. And one of the first things they said, stop eating red meat. And the things that I hear people being told all the time, I'm 100 pounds overweight, my cholesterol's high, my doctor said I should go on a vegetarian diet and, you know, do a lot of cardio. And I'm like, when did this concept of steak and fat causing quote unquote heart disease? And I asked you about this too. There was recent press in the last month or so. So we're recording this in September. Is it September? Yeah. The end of September, 2019. There's something like the paleo diet causes heart disease. And remember I texted you and you said you had a good explanation for it. But this is the misinformation that's out there in the medical field. Where did this come from that eating meat and even paleo is the cause of heart disease?
You know, so the beautiful thing about learning about paleo and getting to allowing people to be able to use their own mind about their health instead of, oh, you can't know because you didn't go to school. You know, I can't remember how many times when I was during my residency and as a medical student, I'm working with an attending physician and someone starts asking, you know, some probing questions and usually ones the doctors can't really answer or they have their own ideas about what's wrong with them or their loved one that they're with. And the doctor will say, what medical school did you go to?
Mm.
Okay. You know, when I was...
My dad can beat up your dad.
Well, exactly. And so that it's really, you know, so doctors, you said doctors don't know what they don't know, but they act as though they know all of it is the problem. And that's where I have trouble. They think they know. And it's kind of like one of my patients was telling me that they were trying to discuss some alternative treatments for cancer to their oncologist. And they said, the oncologist said, that doesn't work because if it did, I would know about it. But they don't read anything but their medical journals, and I guarantee you they're not going to be anything alternative is not published in medical journals. It never works. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the problem. Doctors, you know, on one hand I give them a pass because they're so isolated with their knowledge stream that mm-hmm. that they don't find this other stuff. And so mm-hmm. a lot of times you break through that and you find a doctor that's really interested. And so I had a patient once that came in with, he had a throat cancer, and he wanted to do it alternatively, but I didn't have anything to monitor. We never could find the source of it, just an inflamed lymph node. So the point was, I said, we have a good way of getting rid of this. Your chances of survival is really good, but it's high-dose chemo and high-dose radiation. But what we'll do is give you IV vitamin C, so that will stop all the side effects, the negative side effects of the chemo and the radiation. So the damage will be much more focused only on the cancer cells and not your healthy cells. So he's trying to get his oncologist to agree with this. And because we need to do some coordination with the timing of everything. And so she just kept telling, it's an antioxidant. You can't do that when you're getting chemo. And I said, well, give her this study. And then he comes back. She says, nope, not going to do it. And I said, well, here's a couple more studies. Nope, still not going to do it. And I said, okay, have her, there's a doctor at the University of Kansas who's really good. So I gave him the doctor's name and everything. And so he goes up there and he gives it to her during his visit. She said she left. She came back about 40 to 45 minutes later, inspired by that whole idea of using IV vitamin C. So, you know, once you get past this arrogance that the doctor has about they know everything, and if it was out there, they would know it if it worked. Once you get past that, then they really are interested in helping their patients. And so they want these new tools as well. But that is a hard hurdle to get over.
Yeah, it is. Because you and I have talked about this a lot. I've always said, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard for me because I share my journey and how much having a doctor like you has helped me not only to go down the right paths to figure my, you know, because every woman, and when we're talking about hormones and cortisol, we're all unique. What it's not, there's no blanket treatment for every woman. So you have to figure that out. It's like, right. you know, a fitness journey. You tweak what works and then you tweak it a little bit more and then you tweak it a little more and you inevitably start to get to a place where you get some traction. But I get so many people that will email me and go, how do I find a Dr. Sebring in my place? And there's not a lot, but we hope that, you know, with, I think the combination of consumers becoming comfortable enough being their own advocate and starting to push back and ask these questions and doing their own research and bring that to their doctor, who knows? That might compel that doctor to go out and start, you know, again, doing the research and seeing that there are other things that they could become educated on. I firmly believe that can happen. The other thing to keep in mind, and I'd love your comment on this, is so to take it back big picture to this cholesterol topic, you've shared a lot, both in this show, but also with me privately or off the record about, you know, here's what's going on in medical journals. And there's a lot of, you know, manipulation of sharing information, right? The information that people don't want to be found. I mean, let's be real, like the medical industry is supported by big pharma and all of these drugs, the statin drugs, the cholesterol drugs, the, you know, whatever it is. If you look at, it's pretty amazing for anybody that listens. If you subscribe to any number of magazines, you know, I was looking through Oprah magazine the other day, 50% of that magazine are drugs. And, you know, and that's who's paying for, I mean, millions of dollars for you to see that and go, oh, I have psoriasis. Let me take a drug. Almost 60% of fitness, health, and wellness magazines are the same drugs. Start taking a peek and start when you paying attention when you watch the news. If you watch Fox News or CNN or whatever it is that you watch, look and see what ads are being played. Most of them are drug. You know, about cholesterol, about erection, if you will, about your psoriasis. And it's all like, take this drug, and side effects could be death, you know, losing your left arm, losing all sexual, you know, it's just like you listen to the side effects and it's a joke. It's like, I could take this drug to help my psoriasis, but I could end up with vomiting, blood, bloody stools, blood in my urine, inability to have sex, my eyeballs falling out, my hair falling out, gaining 800 pounds, but my skin's going to look really good. Like, hello? Right. So the other thing I want to take it back to is, you know, we started talking about cholesterol and the misinformation that's out there, right? And one of the things that I told Dr. Sebring, and I've mentioned it on this show, I really recommend everybody. It's on, there's a great movie. Katie Couric was part of creating this. It's a documentary. It's called Fed Up. It was produced several years ago, so it's not brand new. But this showed how much the food industry in our country is interested in quashing appropriate nutrition information for our health. For, of course, their own benefit. And it illustrates it so well. And to me, it takes it back to what these doctors are telling obese kids and their parents. And they were just showing that these people are recommending gastric bypass surgery. Wow. They're recommending a low-fat, high-carb diet. You know, these kids are like, you know, 250, 300 pounds, and they're 14. They have heart problems. And you know what they're having for breakfast? A huge bowl of cereal with skim milk. And then they're packing juice and a peanut butter sandwich or something like that for lunch. And they're trying to lose weight. They're trying to run and do cardio. And it's heartbreaking. And the parents, they're interviewing these parents, and they're like, well, we're trying to eat healthy. You know, we bought this because it's low fat. We bought this because it's whole grain bread and it's better for you. And they don't know. And then they go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, she's, you know, we should probably look at gastric bypass surgery. Where is this? Like, when is simple, common nutrition gonna break through? And the truth is, what that movie really does well is they show how much information is being hidden from us. They talk about that there was actually a study. So in the 80s, when that whole recommendation of the food chart came out, and they recommended that we all go on a low-fat diet and have a lot of grains, remember? That right. was proven, essentially, and you've actually talked to me about this. Wasn't that proven by multiple studies that that's actually not accurate?
Hey, everybody, you have reached the end of part one of this two-part episode with Dr. Lane Sebring on cholesterol. Please be sure to tune in to part two.